From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
Bishop's Hour, appreciate you joining us. And as we move on through the Easter season, we're still in the Easter season, but I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Easter Sunday and Holy Week. We're joined by Miriam San Martino, who's the Executive Director of Catholic Charities and Social Concerns for the Diocese of Sacramento. You're only in charge of 102 parishes and 20 counties.
That's right. You know, it's a small task, though, but I love this work. There are no 2 days alike.
Yeah.
You know, and in the morning I could be talking about Catholic Charities and board development and formation. And then I can be talking about racial equity and environmental justice. So it's amazing work.
Well, it's amazing how many, areas of, I just look at the Catholic appeal and all the things that are served. And you know, you think of Matthew 25 and you think of hunger and clothing and homelessness and prison ministries, et cetera. But there are so many other things that the Catholic appeal and the Catholic Charities covers.
Yeah. And, you know, at the heart of it all really is, you know, a single person. Mm-hmm. Right? There's a person, there's a woman, a man, a child, an elderly, a veteran, whoever, you know, wherever you are in your stage of life, but that is the center of everything that we do. Right? And so it's, regardless of all these activities and all these titles that we put on it, really it's at the base of it is who are we helping? And it's that family and it's that individual who's in need, who needs to feel part of a community.
Yeah.
Right? That's very much needed now.
How did you get into working for Catholic Charities? You are an attorney by training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think part of it is I think most of us have that desire to do something good, right? Desire to be part of something, to feel that our life has meaning. And so I was very early in my legal career. I was doing a lot of immigration work. And
In this area?
In Solano County.
Solano County.
Yeah, so I was local, and one of the things that I realized as I was, helping my clients is that there was a huge need for access to legal services, and once you offer somebody access to legal services, now you have their trust completely.
Right.
And they open up their whole life to you.
Right.
And as an attorney, I can only do so much for them, right, because I'm only helping in a small point of their life. Mm-hmm. Right, but the rest of life keeps going on.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I started looking into, well, what does our local Catholic Charities offer? And that's when I started saying, okay, what programs are they offering? What can we do better? And then there was an opportunity, as that often happens, just became available to interview to be part of the board for Catholic Charities. And I said yes, and that's how I got into it.
Wow.
Yeah. I have a huge responsibility, right, so that to make sure that our Catholic Charities are true to our mission, that we are available, we are providing high-quality service, but also with a lot of love, and a lot of openness to dialogue and to understanding why people are struggling, how are they struggling, and what can we do to help them.
So if you could... you say Reader's Digest, 25 words or less. Define a mission statement for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Sacramento. What's the mission?
Really, the mission is to bring the love of God to everybody in every corner of the diocese. And that love is in really just taking the time to get to know each person and to be responsive to their needs, but to also advocate so that our society and our political and justice systems are there to help people, not to keep them down.
So do charities, Catholic Charities and other charities, do you sometimes step on each other's toes? I mean, you're all trying to do the same project?
No. We're actually very good. Yeah. Each of our charities has not only their own mission, But they're also geographic focus,
uh-huh.
you know, and that's very much rooted in our theme of solidarity.
Right.
Right. We can't expect somebody in Reading to understand what's going on in Winters.
Right.
we don't step on each other's toes. We do check in often, right, because we do provide some of the similar services.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we're here to support each other. There's no real competition among all the charities.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would think this diocese is so diverse, mm-hmm. whether it's diverse in population, diverse in occupation, diverse in geography, yeah. diverse in the needs. I would think dramatically different in, say, inner city Sacramento and Alturas or something.
Yeah, and the environment that you're working with is also very different, right? The counties, the 20 counties that we cover, right. each one has different priorities, has different funding sources,
sure.
or prioritizes different services. So each of the Catholic charities really has to be in tune with the community to be able to use those resources and right. really be good advocates.
So do you work or pay attention at least to various city councils and county boards of supervisors and things like that?
Once in a while. It depends what's going on. During the pandemic, I think it was important for us to be staying on top of especially the bigger counties. Because for whatever reason, a lot of the counties will group together, especially in emergency responses.
Right.
You know, so we know that Solano County was very much in tune with what's going on in the Bay Area counties.
Right.
And then you have Yolo, which kind of splits right between Sacramento and Solano, which
right.
Other counties that they're going to mirror. And then we have our northern counties, which are very different.
Right.
So I think we're just trying to stay abreast of what's going on. What are the challenges that each of those areas are seeing
right.
and how those counties are responding so that we can come in and either fill the gaps or mm-hmm. be that voice of, you know, hey, don't forget about all these other people.
Right.
Right. Yes, we're all in an emergency, but we need to be very responsive to all these needs.
And now you have Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano mm-hmm. and also in the North State in headquartered in Reading, but really what another six or seven counties up there.
Yeah, you know, and then we have like Upper Room Dining Hall, you know, which are focused in Placerville,
mm-hmm.
Rancho Cordova Food Locker, Mother Teresa Maternity Home, Camp Recreation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of charities that are officially Catholic charities, and then there are charity partners that we support also through the ACA.
And how many of those, are there also charitable organizations within parishes that are not under Catholic charities?
Mm-hmm. The biggest one is St. Vincent de Paul,
uh-huh,
right?
Sure,
they're very
sure.
much parish-based,
right.
And they get support through the ACA as well, hopefully through our parishes. And we also support the Exodus Project. There are also other organizations that may not be linked to a particular parish, right? But we make sure that because they're doing their mission aligns with ours, and they have a connection to the Catholic
right.
Church and to our history as a diocese, that we do support them.
Yeah, and the Exodus Project. I don't know if they've been able to quantify if you know that it's working, but it sure seems like just a remarkable project.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's the quantifiable data that, you know, grants will ask for, you know, and maybe we'll just, I'm not saying Exodus does this, right? But if you just say we helped five people this year, right? Well, that's five people who were alone and would have been in a
yeah.
much worse situation,
right?
Right, had that program not been available.
Right.
And so we have to be careful not to just go by the way that statistics or general data is reported, but really looking at what is the impact to every single person that's come into contact with that program.
Yeah, I know. I went to the Exodus Project's fundraising dinner in the fall, and some of the stories
yeah.
were just tore at your heart. And there was one that fortunately somebody had videoed, and I went home and I told them, one of my daughters came with me. She's college age, and she's very involved in the prison ministry. She's not officially, but she did some prison outreach in college,
okay.
And she came up. She's you've got to see this video. You have to see this guy speak. He was in prison, and the biggest thing that helped him of everything, but was people helping him. But he really needed a bicycle.
Wow.
You know. And he said, if I'd known there were bicycles available, it was just to hear him speak. It was very raw, real, and it was just very moving. And you realized how important it is just to accompany, if you will.
Absolutely.
We hear that in abortion. We hear that in a lot of areas, is to accompany people. Don't
absolutely
tell them what to do or tell them how to make their lives better, but to accompany them. Then you must see that every day.
Yeah, and I think even our parishes, face that challenge every day. You know, and I think that's one lesson that I always take with me in my time with Catholic Charities. You know, we're tired. We have so many things that we have to do. So many demands, right, on our time and on our energy. And I remember, you know, so many days where I just wanted to go home. the day is ended. My hours are done. I just want to go home and do whatever I need to do with my family. And so many times when I would walk out the door, there'd be somebody waiting.
You know,
it's almost 5 o'clock or Right outside the door. They're trying to ring the doorbell, whatever. And what do you do in that moment?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe your energy is completely spent. You maybe just had the worst day imaginable. But here's that person who's taken whatever gasoline's left in their car, whatever courage they had that day, right? Maybe they had a small opening between jobs. Somebody was able to take care of the kids, whatever it could be, but they needed to come to your office, to your parish, because they needed help.
Yep.
And I think it's so easy for us to say, you know what, I'm just tired, come back tomorrow.
Yep.
And that's not what we're taught. That's not what we're here for. And for us to say, to breathe right in that moment and to pray to God to give you that strength, to say, okay, I have 10 more minutes.
Yeah.
Right. And be very honest with that person. Say, you know, I have 10 more minutes. How can I help you?
Right.
And let's see if we can get something started at least today. Exactly. And then come back when you have more time.
Right.
And I think that's really what we're missing a lot of times because we're such in a rush.
Oh, we always are. You
know, we're always too busy.
Especially when we go out the door. It's like we got 6 things we need to do.
And it's those moments, right, where you're being asked to step out of your comfort zone and to really be, really express that love that we hear, right? God loves us so much, and that person, he loves them too, right? And he's asking me to step outside of my own selfishness and say, I'm going to give you another 10 minutes.
Well, I remember when probably a year ago now, where the group of migrants were flown into Sacramento and it was a big political mess, but where did they drop them off? Right here in the parking lot of the administrative headquarters of the Catholic Church in Sacramento. Like, it's like, well, they recognize that we're going to do something.
That's right. That because we
we're
always
here
do.
To help.
That's right. You know, and we don't have to have all the answers right then and there. We don't have to have $1 million to help somebody, but we do have our time.
Yeah.
Right. And we identify in those 21 people, whoever it is that's coming to your door, that's God right there.
Yeah.
Right.
And we immediately mobilized.
Absolutely. You know, and for me, that touches it's my personal journey too, right? I always share this with folks. My family and I, we came to the U.S. when I was very young. But if it hadn't been for our parish, you know, my family went to the parish secretary. I'm like, hey, we need help. And the parish secretary, okay, well, I can't do anything, but Catholic Charities can do something. And then thankfully she had the number. And then thankfully Catholic Charities answered our phone call. And Catholic Charities also connected us to their local resource, you know, because maybe they wouldn't, at that time, they weren't able to provide a specific service we needed. But it's that chain of events.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm so thankful. And I think, you know, if I forget that, then I'm not doing my job.
Right.
But I have to be so grateful for every person in that chain of events that said, yes, I'm going to try to help you as best I can.
Try to help you. Yep.
You know, and I'm thinking, how different my life would be if any one of those people would have said, no, I'm too tired.
Yeah, it's a connected link. Yeah,
you know, and I get worked up about it and I get nervous and I get, you know, goosebumps because it's the reality. And we are offered those opportunities every single day.
Yeah.
And it can seem overwhelming and the problems of the world are so overwhelming. But we're not being asked to solve the problems of the world in this entirety. We're asking to be available to that one person who's asking us to be there with them.
Well, so many of our saints have talked about just do the little things. Mm-hmm. You know, do the little things, do the one-on-one things. If you can help one person,
that's right,
change a life. But yeah, you mentioned immigration, and I know we're going to talk politics. I'm avoiding
it.
Immigration. What can Catholic Charities do? What are the challenges in immigration, and what can Catholic Charities do for someone who's presumably looking for citizenship, or at least mm-hmm. the ability to at least be in the country and not worry about getting deported?
Yeah, I mean, thankfully we do have the opportunity that all three of the bigger Catholic Charities, Yolo Solano, Sacramento Food Bank, and Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, all three do offer free and low-cost immigration legal services.
Right, and the food bank, you hear that word food, but they are doing immigration now.
Yeah, they also have, you know, a full staff of immigration attorney and accredited representatives. So what they can do, the minimum that they can do, is to alleviate a lot of the anxiety for folks that have these questions, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what can I do? But remind folks that the legal documentation or, you know, the legal authority to work here in the country is a long step.
Right.
You know,
right.
Not every single immigration relief is available to every single person.
Right.
And to say, okay, we're going to talk about it and we're going to talk about this honestly.
Right.
And to be able to tell somebody honestly, you do or you do not have an opportunity, right, to change your legal status here in the U.S.,
right,
that's a huge act of love, really, right? Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to lead somebody down the wrong path.
Sure.
You don't want
to
give them false hope.
Right.
Right. And to talk to them clearly, like, look, there's no chance for you to be here, right? Or to legalize. What's your next step?
Right.
You know, or to say you have a lot of hope, right? There is an opportunity for you to follow these paths for legal permanent residency or for citizenship. So I think that's the most critical work that we do through Catholic Charities, is to have that honest conversation with mm-hmm. folks and to say you're not alone. You know, there are other things in life that you have to worry about.
Right.
Right. You have to still eat. You have to still work. So you have to find somewhere to live. Right. Life happens. And so that's the best thing that we could do, just to give that consultation. And then if there is an opportunity to have permanent residency, naturalization, asylum, whatever it is, for us to be able to facilitate that access through free or local
services.
How did
they find you?
Most clients, they will just Google us.
Uh-huh.
You know, Catholic Charities is pretty well known worldwide.
Right.
You know, that's the beauty of being the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Catholic Charities have existed in so many ways throughout the history of the world, where people hear Catholic Charities, they know that they're going to get a reliable service.
Yeah.
And so most folks, they will just Google it.
Well. You know?
And other times they get referred, you know, we're on a lot of lists, either through the immigration courts, through detention uh-huh. facilities,
sure.
Churches, both Christian and non-Christian alike will have us on their referral list as well.
What's it take for a person to immigrate to this country and become a citizen?
Well, it depends. You know, if you are trying to, like, say, if you have a U.S. citizen sibling
right
here in the U.S. And they're trying to petition one of their siblings, if you're from Mexico, it can take you 21 years.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it 21 years?
There's a huge backlog in the processing of all these applications. And there's only so many visas or slots or opportunities available each year. And once those slots are filled, then everybody continues waiting. But it depends, you know, depends on the proceedings or the relief that you're looking for.
Are they waiting the 21 years in the United States or not in the United States?
Most are outside of the United States. Once you enter the United States without permission, then you jeopardize your
chances.
Your
yeah.
chances, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's difficult stuff.
It is. It is, you know, and it is a politically charged topic.
Yes.
You know, but as we started the show, at the end of the day, it's a person.
It is.
You know,
yep.
And if you're running a food bank or if you're at, you know, over 102 parishes, you know that when somebody knocks on your door, that's not your first question.
Yep.
When they knock on your door and you're saying, how can I help you? It's really they're asking for you to be there with them.
Sure.
You know, so.
Politics.
Yes, politics.
Our bishops have, you know, we always heard about faithful citizenship.
Yes.
You know, sort of our duty, not just our right, but our duty to get involved in the marketplace, I guess. But this is something, well, it's along those lines.
Yes, it's called A Better Kind of Politics. And it's
I can go for that. Things have gotten pretty ugly out there.
It can be, right? If we kind of get sucked up into this whirlwind of everyday politics and what this new, it's not really a new campaign. It's been around for a while. But what the U.S. Bishops, our Catholic bishops, are asking us to do is to love our neighbors through dialogue, right? Politics is not what we see or what we have come to know here in the U.S., right? These debates have no real solution, debate that has no real answer, right? Issues that when we talk about them, we don't talk about them to understand the other person's point of view or their life experiences. Why do they believe that? A lot of time when we talk about politics, it's you must believe what I believe because I'm telling you to.
Right.
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 It's that argument of I'm wrong, you're right, or you're right, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right. We're trying to force ideas onto each other. And that's not the way that we actually work in charity and work towards justice.
I mean, the goal of a debate, you know, especially the one you said, is to win the debate.
Right.
To prove that your opponent is wrong and you're right. And not like, oh, let's have a debate and maybe we'll come to some kind of a consensus.
Right.
That's not the goal.
No, and that's not the type of politics that we're talking about here, right? Especially if those of you who have read Pope Francis' encyclical Fratelli Tutti, that's not what he's talking about. And when he talks about politics, what he's talking about is this dialogue based in charity and fraternity that really is going to work towards the common good.
Right.
Right. And how are we engaging in this world so that everything that's available to us, resources, time, our attitudes are really going to allowing everybody to flourish, right? And to have that life that God has designed for us. And a lot of times we forget that, right? It's so easy for us to blame others or to name others, right? Because they don't agree with us.
Right.
But that's not leading us really to charity. It's not leading us to really be brothers and sisters in Christ like we're asked to be, right? Instead, it's just dividing us and leaving us to feel more alone than before.
Right.
So the simple solution to all this, Pope Francis says, is dialogue. Dialogue is the greatest act of love.
Yeah.
You know, and to dialogue means to really let go of our ego, right? To really still our hearts and to say, I'm going to actually listen.
Yeah.
And not to respond, not to argue, not to judge, but to try to really enter into that emotion of that person and ask these open-ended questions so that you can find these commonalities. Mm-hmm. And if we really try, a lot of us have so much in common where we can build from as opposed to divide us. All right, so that's really what we're talking about now.
Yeah, I mean, we see even in many, many conversations about real things, people pretend to be listening, but they're just waiting for their turn to make their point.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, and so many of us have, you know, met people, whether at a meeting or, you know, after a church or whatever, and we'll have this experience where we'll say, wow, that person really understood me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we really clicked, right?
Yeah.
Well, why? Because you felt heard, right?
Yep.
Because the other person was able to repeat back to you what you were sharing and found that point of commonality, right? When you're talking to another parent and they're concerned about, well, I don't know why my child isn't reading. I'm concerned about their reading level. And you have that same concern. Wow, you're best friends now.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Right. And now, oh, well, maybe we should do something in the school to make sure that our kids have, you know, good reading skills. And what are we doing to make sure that we're encouraging reading?
Right.
And now you have this common goal. All right. So not only have you connected on something that you share, a value that you share,
right?
It's now you're going to work together to improve it. And that's really the politics that Pope Francis is talking about. Where are those points of commonality, and where are those points where we find that we are so in tune with each other that we can work together?
Well, you know, we've probably are very well attuned to a lot of the issues of the day because we pay attention to those things. Yeah. And yet almost every time I enter into a real discussion, frequently, not necessarily you're diametrically opposed, but just discussing an issue, if you really listen, sometimes I'll just say to myself, or I'll say out loud, or I'll say later, I never looked at it that way. Mm-hmm. You know, and it gave me it seems like there were two sides to this debate, whatever it was about. Right. And here was a third point of view that I really hadn't considered, mm-hmm. that made me just stop and go, oh, yeah, I hadn't looked at it that way.
Yeah.
And if you listen to enough people, you're probably going to get about six of those.
That's right.
You know, and it really broadens your perspective. And I think the other thing it does, too, is you realize there are people in situations that you didn't imagine.
Yeah.
Not necessarily horrible situations or something, but their situation is you kind of had it black and white, you know, that you're either this or you're that, and they're neither. They're in a different spot.
That's right.
Entirely.
Yeah.
And that's almost any issue we can talk about. You'll find that there's more than right and wrong or my way or their way.
Right. And that's where we have to be really open to that, right?
Yeah.
Open to saying that, you know, maybe I don't understand this issue completely. Maybe all the sources that I'm getting my information from are very one-sided, right? And so all you're doing is just feeding the same thought, same mentality, and you're never looking on the other side. Right. And when you really look at whatever issue we're looking at, whether it be two sides, five sides, or six sides, again, at the center of it all is people. Yeah. Right. And if that person that we're talking about is reduced to an ideology, mm-hmm. to a topic, to an issue, then we've missed the mark.
Yep.
Right. Because now we're not going to be able to really build this society based on fraternity, right, and love. What we're doing is siloing people again.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point we're going to be siloed too because of whatever category that we fit into. Right. And then when we need help, no one's going to be there because we haven't built relationships. We haven't really found friends. What we found is more enemies than friends, and we can't live that way.
No. And it doesn't get you anywhere.
That's right. Doesn't
get the country anywhere or your community or anything else.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, being at a Giants game. I don't go to very many Giants games and haven't for a long time, but being at a Giants game, probably as a young adult, and it was back in the days when the concessions were frequently walked through the stadium. You know,
the guy's got the
big bin. It must have been brutal because these heavy bins
full
of
hot
dogs.
Ones,
yeah. And I remember watching, and it's like the rows are about 20 seats. You know, there's one, two, three, like that. And here I am sitting, like I was sitting right on the aisle.
Mm.
And here's a guy down in seat 18, and he wants a hot dog. And he passes, back in the days of cash, too. He's passing money down through 18 people to give it to the hot dog vendor. And then we're all passing hot dog 18 rows down.
One hope and trust, right?
And it always worked. Nobody said, I'm going to eat this hot dog right now, or I'm going to put that money in my pocket.
Or no one says, no, I'm not going to take that hot dog.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, and it always worked.
That's right.
You know, and we probably all had different politics. But there's something about athletics, too.
Yes.
If you're rooting for my team, you're my brother or my sister. You know, I like you instantly.
That's right. You know, was it last season? The Kings were playing the Warriors.
Oh yeah,
in the playoffs. And yes, we're in Sacramento, but I've always been a Warriors fan. I grew up in the Bay Area. You know, and I would always carry in my blue Warriors mug, right?
Yeah.
But my coat's purple.
Yeah.
And so it would throw people off because they didn't know which team I was rooting for.
Yeah.
But I became friends, right? If I wore my purple coat, the Kings fans were on my side.
Bring your cowbell. Yeah.
That's right. You know, but if I bring my blue Warriors, you know, tumbler, evil stares.
I know. I mean, I grew up partly in Oregon, and my dad went to Oregon State, and I went to Oregon State to graduate school. And it's in my heart because it was what I knew in my childhood.
Right.
And I was at a UC Davis softball game last weekend. And here was a woman wearing an Oregon State hat, orange and in black. Just, I mean, it was unmistakable. And I went up to her. I said, "You're Oregon Stater. Like, you must be a great person." You know?
Automatic friends.
And yeah, it turns out she had played basketball for them years ago. And we talked about that because I knew who the coaches were and all that. And it was like there was this instant bond.
That's right.
Just because she was wearing an Oregon State hat.
Yeah.
You know, it's and why can't we have more of that?
How beautiful would it be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you don't want people to be hungry? You're my best friend.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's fight hunger together.
Yeah.
You know, but we don't, you know, outwardly say that. We don't outwardly show our values or what we stand for, right? But as Catholics, we have to do that. When you wear that crucifix, you know,
yep.
Whether it be simple or ruby adorned, whatever you have, you're making a statement.
Yes, indeed.
Right? That you are there for the most vulnerable. And all of our actions, all of our attitudes have to reflect that.
Yeah.
And how we do it is by actually talking with folks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at most every story in the Bible, at least those that just directly involve Jesus and who he's reaching out to, it's always somebody in need, somebody maybe who's been rejected, somebody, you know, you just all of the things that Catholic Charities is doing, you know, he's rarely, I mean, he's exalting those people. He's caring for those people.
That's
he's
right.
performing miracles with those people,
yeah.
Whether they quote unquote deserved it or not.
That's right.
You know.
And it teaches us that it's not what we do individually, right? Yes, I can feed somebody, and that's a great work of charity, you know, but it's when we work together is when we actually do the vocation of charity, right? When we engage in these conversations and we say, this isn't fair,
right?
That's not what that person deserves.
Right.
Then we are really living the mission of Christ.
Right.
You know, and Jesus is a great example of how to dialogue. He doesn't go in saying, this is how you're going to do X, Y, and Z. He asks so many questions.
Yep.
Right? And he's teaching us how to be open and ask those open-ended questions so we can understand the other person.
And there's not one person that Jesus encounters who is hopeless.
That's right.
Who is just flat out rejected. You know, like, there's no hope for you. No.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
But you're right. He asks a lot of questions.
And that's what we're being asked to do, right? Especially in this, as we're entering this very heavy season of politics here in the U.S. and in California, is how are we preparing our hearts for those conversations, right? In this campaign of a better kind of politics, you know, they talk about the parable of the seed, right? Seed and the soil, and it's going to give all these fruits. The seed is the word of God, right? Or where's the soil? It's our hearts, right? And how are we going to cultivate our hope in our hearts so that we can receive that word and actually multiply the fruits, right? And if our hearts are full of insulting other people or degrading or judging or excluding folks, then we're not going to be very good at multiplying those fruits, right? But if our hearts are full of trying to understand, of empathy, of love and compassion, then we're going to be more successful you know, in this election season and beyond. Because there are a lot of topics going to come, and you're going to hear a lot of messages, right? Of they don't understand this, or they only stand for this, or how are we going to receive those messages, right? Is really going to determine how we're going to live our mission.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. We've somehow developed a two-party system. It's not in the Constitution, but there it is. And it seemingly has evolved to the point where the common good is somewhere off in the corner. Mm-hmm. What's good for this party or what's good for that party
is
our goal. If we do this for the common good, it might actually help our opponent somehow.
And so, oh my goodness, how could that be, right?
We don't want that to happen, you know, and I think both major parties are tremendously guilty of that to the point where If one party says it's Monday, the other party will say it's Tuesday.
That's right. That's
period. Right. You know, it's like, well, if they think it's Monday, we have to be against it. We've got to say it's Tuesday, you know. Yeah. And then we'll and it's interesting when you get into city politics and the county supervisor politics, usually nonpartisan.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near as ugly. It because they're not trying to, they may still be trying to prove their point. They may still, and they're still trying to get elected, all of them.
Right.
But they're much more focused on solving problems than they are serving the party.
And I think it's because, you know, the impact that you're going to see is immediate.
It's immediate.
It's local,
and
right?
It's local.
You're
going
to have to see that person that you might have yelled at city council at the next fundraiser.
Exactly.
You're going to see them in the coffee shop.
Or dropping your kids off at school.
Exactly. So how are you going to act then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so because we're so accountable at the local level, that our attitudes change, the way that we deal with things.
Sure.
But at the national level, it's so far away, right?
Yeah.
Many of us will never see the president of the United States.
Right.
And that person will never have to explain their actions to us.
Right.
Right? Because we're so far away.
Yep.
But the more local we are, then it gets real personal.
Yep.
Right? Because we know folks. And I think, you know, one of the other things we have to be careful, especially during this election season, is, and I've heard it already this year, is, well, somebody will say, well, what party are you voting for?
Yeah. Yeah. What party are you voting for?
And one person will say one party or the other. And the response is, well, how can you vote for them? We're Catholics. And it's true for either side.
Yeah, right, right.
You know? And I'm like, wow, is that really what we're reducing ourselves to? Mm-hmm. All right. And I think the better question is, what's important to you this election season?
Right, right.
What worries you?
Right.
You know, what's going to impact your day to day?
Yeah.
And why? Right. And then hopefully through that type of conversation, we can start saying, well, what does our faith teach us? Mm-hmm. You know, what is, are you reading the catechism of the church? Are you really in tune with the scripture? And how is that guiding the way that you're thinking about this particular issue? That's my hope for this election season for all of us, is to not give into this, you know, partisan or this way or that way. It's why.
Right.
It's the why question.
Yeah. You know, a few years ago, I had Ray Flynn, the former mayor of Boston, and also a former ambassador to the Vatican for
Bob,
the United
you know
States.
People, don't you?
I had him on the show, and he, you know, we got to talking, and he's Irish Catholic from way back, you know, and played college basketball at the high level and actually played one game for the Celtics, you know.
Wow.
You know, and kind of, he loves to talk about it, you know, and after about 20 minutes of talking basketball, we actually get into politics and that kind of thing. And he says, you know, people say, well, if you're Catholic, you need to be on this side of this issue and you need to be on that side of that issue. And he goes through it, but this is the most important issue. Mm-hmm. And this is lesser important, and he said, why don't we just do all the things Jesus asked you to do and not put not put a number on it? Like, well, right. I'm doing the most important one and I can ignore the other six or 10 or however,
right,
you know,
right.
and I can be on the wrong side of all those because I'm on the right side of the most important one.
Right, right. So
says,
everything else is forgiven.
Yeah, let's just do all of them. And I thought, that's simple and brilliant.
That's
you know,
right.
It just everything Jesus told us to do. Because I've heard that people say that, well, you know, the poor, the homeless, I'm on the right side of this other issue.
That's right.
And that makes me good enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I can ignore the poor, or I can ignore the immigrant. I can ignore, and vice versa, I'm on the side of the immigrant, and I can ignore this other.
Right.
You know,
right.
And let's just do all of it.
Imagine all of it.
Yeah.
Well, come on over to Catholic Charity and Social Concerns. That's where we do it all.
No, it is what, you know, that's what why I love what you do because it's so true. You're not saying, well, we're just concentrating on this or we're just concentrating on that.
We can't.
And you can't. And that's why you can't pigeonhole the Catholic Church either.
You can't. You can't. Because, you know, for so many folks, the Catholic Church, we're so radical. Right? How can we come out on so many issues?
Yeah, and we're not afraid to come out on issues. That's part of our mission, is to come out on the issues. And and you don't see that with very many. You may see, and I'll never put down other denominations
in any way.
But they may take a firm stand on a specific issue. Mm-hmm. Catholic Church, we're out there on everything.
We are, you know, and it's because we build bridges. We're really good at that, you know.
Right.
We don't say, "Oh, because you're this, then we can't play on the playground."
Right.
Right. No, it's we both agree that this is an important issue for both of us, so we're going to play together.
Right.
Right. And I think that translates even within our families. Right. How is it possible? Like, how could you have a fruitful marriage if we're not able to talk about those difficult issues?
Yeah.
Right. Yep. How are we going to connect with our kids if we're not able to enter into those uncertain and awkward issues that our kids are asking us about?
Exactly.
Right. And it's the same thing in the greater community. We have to be able to enter into those conversations where we know the other person disagrees with us. We know that we don't see eye to eye on so many other things, but there are very important issues to both of us that we're going to be able to work on.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned about kids too. It's do it because I told you to. It doesn't work
when they're 2, and it doesn't work when they're 15.
You know, it may work for 5 minutes, you know, but if they don't understand why it is you're saying that,
that's right.
You know, I always preface with our own kids. And they're always your kids. It doesn't matter how old they get. They're always your kids. You preface it with, you should know that this is coming from my heart. And my wife the same way. She has the same approach. This is coming from our heart. We love you completely. Right. And any advice we give you is what we think is in your best interest. We're not doing it to be mean. We're not doing it to be harsh. We're not doing it to punish.
Right.
It may feel, I don't get into much discipline, but you know, sometimes people think, you know, if they got grounded or something, we don't do that either. But you know, that you're punishing me because I didn't do my homework or something. No, we're trying to explain to you, when you don't do your homework, it just kind of it balloons, and it's not it's not good for you not to do your homework.
Yeah, and it's hard, right? Because especially as you know, young adults, youth and young adults, they want to find their voice, right? They want you to understand that they have their own way of thinking.
Exactly.
Right? And you know, we see it a lot when the college conversation comes up. You know, parents, for all of our good intentions, sometimes we don't see or hear what our child is telling us.
Yep.
Right? We want them to follow a particular path because that path worked for us.
Yep.
Because we know how hard life can be, and it's easier when you have a degree, and it's easier when you follow a certain professional path, right? And our young adults, our teenagers are telling us, I'm not sure about that path.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And for us, being uncertain about a career, about what your life's going to look like as an adult, we're like, no, you don't want to follow that.
Right.
You know, because we know what it's like to pay bills, but our kids don't.
Right.
And so to be able to hold both, right? To say, yes, I understand that you're feeling uncertain. You know, you're not ready to commit to that career path.
Right.
But I'm here to tell you, you know, this is my advice. This is my experience.
Right.
And so when you share experiences with your kids, that's when they start to say, oh, okay. My mom and my dad are not telling me to do what they want me to do. It's because they've learned something. They've lived through something.
Yeah.
And they're more than just my mom and my dad.
No, it's true. If you can relate and say, when I was your age, I did this, and that was a big mistake, or that was the smartest thing. I didn't realize it at the time, but it turned out being the smartest thing I ever did. And as you talk about career paths, it's really a tangent, but just a couple of weeks ago, the state of California dropped the college degree requirement from thousands of state jobs.
Amazing, right?
Yeah, just like you see that, you know, you say to your kids, well, you know, I know you want to take a gap year, or I know you want to drop out of college or whatever. And you say, you know, that college degree is kind of like a stamp or something, or even a high school degree. It's like a stamp. And it was so refreshing to see the state drop these requirements, which were irrelevant.
Right.
You know, and say, yeah, we're going to open up whatever the job is to anybody who's qualified. You know, you can be qualified without having that college degree.
And I know those people are going to hear that message and they're going to cringe, right? They're like, oh my gosh, not have a college degree, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I know for me, right, following the college path, right, I got my bachelor's, then I got my Juris Doctorate. It sets me up to have a lot of mobility in my career.
Sure,
right, and I have to be grateful for that.
Yeah.
And so when I talk to youngsters, you know, I changed my career multiple times, right, and that's okay. But you have to be able to see that your experiences, your career, you know, your education will allow you to follow different paths.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't explore those experiences and that career and that education, then you're going to be stuck.
Yeah.
Right. And how do we have that conversation with our youngsters?
Yep.
Right. That, yeah, you're going to make mistakes. There are multiple paths to follow, but you have to think about that long term.
Yep.
Right. Because when you are 40 and 50 years old and you've been in a career that has no retirement prospect, or that it's an industry that's dying away,
yep,
you're going to look back at all those decisions and say,
I didn't give myself enough options. Yeah.
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 You know, and that's the beauty of living here in the U.S., that we do have options.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's just a great blessing that we have.
Yeah. Well, Miriam, we've run flat up against the clock. Thanks so much for all you do.
You're
out in the Lord's vineyard working hard.
As best I can.
So we really appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. I want to take a minute to talk about the annual Catholic Appeal, the 2024 annual Catholic Appeal. So important here in the Diocese of Sacramento. So many ministries supported by the annual Catholic Appeal, and the people in the Diocese of Sacramento have always been so generous. But a wonderful brochure, a pamphlet, really, that you may have received in the mail, and on the back cover a picture, maybe it's front, I guess that's the front cover, Deacon Kevin Staskow says, I really think that everyone has something to give. When Jesus was literally dying on the cross, he found the strength to turn to the thief being crucified next to him and minister to that person. So often we have all kinds of excuses not to reach out to those next to us. Indeed, today you will be with me in paradise. And you look through this brochure, and you will learn the many, many, many ministries that are supported by the annual Catholic Appeal. And 25% of your donation goes back to the parishes for social ministry at your parish. 50% supports charities, Catholic Charities of Sacramento, and the members in that are Catholic Charities of Yolo Solano, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, which serves Butte, Glen, Shasta, Siskiyou, Tehama, and Trinity counties in this 20-county diocese, and Sacramento Food Bank and Family Services right here in the greater Sacramento area. Also, associate members are Camp Recreation, serving Northern California, the Mother Teresa Maternity Home in Placerville, the Rancho Cordova Food Locker in greater Sacramento, the Upper Room Dining Hall in Placerville. Many of you who have worked at those places are very familiar with those places or have availed yourself of the wonderful services they provide. 25% supports education, seminary formation, and Catholic school tuition assistance. Partners in the annual Catholic Appeal and Catholic Charities of Sacramento include Anderson Cottonwood Christian Assistance, Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home right here in Sacramento that does such wonderful work, the Catholic Ladies Relief Society up in Chico, Community Assistance Network in Greenville, Portola, and Quincy up in the hills, Loaves and Fishes in Sacramento, which just does wonderful work with the homeless, Sacramento Life Center, which has saved so many lives here in the Sacramento area, Salvation Army Food Shelf in Susanville, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul and their seven district councils, the North State, Placer Yuba Sutter Butte, Sacramento East, South Sacramento Elk Grove, Sacramento Metro Area, and Yolo Delta and Solano. Also, the Stanford Settlement Neighborhood Center in Sacramento and the Wellsprings Women's Center in Sacramento, plus Yuba City, Yuba Sutter, Right to Life, the two counties just north of Sacramento. More than 100 programs provide things like counseling, emergency fund, shelter and clothing, permanent and transitional housing, job training, pregnancy counseling, post and prenatal care, independent living skills, mentoring, parenting skills, after-school care, refugee resettlement, citizenship and immigration services, and jail ministry. Our gifts help people who are mentally ill, homeless, disaster survivors, immigrants, elderly, developmentally disabled, incarcerated, working families, refugees, at-risk youth, the unborn, pregnant women, the hungry, and single parents. Such a wide, wide range of our Catholic mission here on this earth and in this Diocese of Sacramento. One of the programs through Northern Valley Catholic Social Services is the court-appointed special advocate program, which is operated out of all the superior courts in the state of California, and it partners with Northern Valley Catholic Social Service to help kids who need advocates in the courts. They talk about, in this pamphlet, a young woman named Isabel, who is devoted to ensuring a positive support system for foster kids now and for their future. As a court-appointed special advocate, a program administered with compassion and dedication by Northern Valley Catholic Social Service, Isabel gives kids the voice they need in court to have a positive path in life. She was once in foster care herself. The severe trauma a child goes through is all too familiar. Today, she's reunited with her parents, has a family of her own, and is focused on becoming a lawyer. Northern Valley Catholic Social Services gives her the opportunity to advocate in court for children with stories like hers. Again, the annual Catholic Appeal, give generously, give whatever you can, whether it's a small amount, a large amount. Also, more men can say yes to the call to the priesthood. Support from the annual Catholic Appeal helps seminarian Eric Patrick, who is pictured in this brochure, to become Father Eric Patrick this past June. We've had him on our program, a delightful priest. Father Patrick is earnestly hopeful that he can be a conduit for the experience of God's mercy and love. With coughs offset by the appeal, the 12 men now in seminarian formation can focus less on financial worries and more on preparing to serve in our parishes. The annual Catholic Appeal, a wonderful, wonderful way to support so many ministries in the Diocese of Sacramento. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing.
Rising up, he's